Welcome to the 159th episode of Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that delightful instant when you can high-five the person next to you and shout, "Yes, I'm in." And not only in, but in at the best program for you. Now, a bit of background about our guest, Dr. Dimitris Bertsimas. He came to MIT to earn his master's degree in operations research in the mid-80s and never left. That's the long and short of it. He earned his PhD in applied mathematics and operations research in 1988 and immediately joined the MIT faculty. Today, he is the Boeing Professor of Operations Research, co-director of the Operations Research Center at MIT, and, as of March, the co-director of MIT Sloan's Masters in Business Analytics. And it's that program that we're going to discuss today because it's brand new. Dr. Bertsimas, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Nice to be with you. Thank you for the invitation.
You're very welcome. I'm delighted to speak with you today. Now, we're obviously discussing the Masters in Business Analytics at MIT. Could you provide an overview? What is it?
The Master of Business Analytics is a 12-month program that starts September and finishes end of August the following year. It involves two academic semesters of taking courses, labs, and the like, and then 3.5 months in a company that we define analytics problems, and the students are asked to model them, implement the solutions, and learn from this experience.
Well, so it's actually an internship at the end.
That's correct.
Okay. Can you give us a bit of background as to how the program came into being?
Yes, the Master of Business Analytics has been in the works at MIT for several years. Okay. The need arose from the observation that the field of analytics is growing very substantially, has grown and is growing. And we felt that MIT, is, particularly Sloan School, is in a great position for that. It's a very strong point of the school, has many faculty whose expertise are very much aligned in the field of analytics in a variety of areas, from finance to marketing to operational research to statistics to operation management, name it. And at the same time, we felt that we can attract superb quality students and become the premier analytics program in the world.
I was particularly excited when I saw that this was happening. I mean, I get lots of inquiries from clients, potential students, about big data and business analytics, and there aren't too many programs like this. There are a few, but not too many.
Yes. Not too many, and there's fantastic demand. For example, yes. I gave a MOOC, a massively online course, mm-hmm. last year, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Over three offerings, it attracted about 120,000 students.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
This is a course called the Analytics Edge. It attracts, and it's, as we speak today, it's being offered again. It has attracted about 45,000 people.
Wow.
So it's a program in great demand, an area of great demand.
Okay. Now, in terms of the curriculum itself, you said that it's going to be two semesters of classroom instruction and labs. And then the internship at the 3 months internship at the end. What are labs? I mean, how are they different from classrooms?
Yeah. So, for example, there are several unique elements. One is there are six modules of software where people mm-hmm. learn some of the software that is available for analytics, for analysis. And then there is also, each of these modules, for example, one is a module in R, the statistical language, another one is a module on optimization, the other one is a module on visualization, and so
mm-hmm.
forth.
Mm-hmm.
These are some instruction, but also a lab. There's also another module, we call it three separate days, from analytics to action, where people learn about leadership, about teamwork, about communication of their work mm-hmm, in ways mm-hmm. that are very critical. Again, this is some of it is instruction, some of it is exercises with students in a laboratory environment. There's a class with an obligatory course called, it's called the Analytics Lab, where students are exposed to problems the companies define, and they have to do various projects associated with this, where they actually do the work. There's also a project class that is it prepares the students for the capstone project in the summer. Mm-hmm. So in the spring of the spring semester, the students who take this class are exposed to the students to the projects of the other students. They are being helped by the professors who supervise them. So it's not only traditional teaching, but it's quite a bit is learning by doing. It's a big portion, not to mention the internship, which is three months, in which the students actually learn by doing doing analytics in a real world context.
Are the students able to choose from among different companies or different projects?
Yes. We will make available several projects, and then they will select. We have a mechanism of selecting who is assigned to what in a way that is consistent with their preferences.
Do you anticipate that a lot of these internships will become jobs? I mean, is that part of the purpose?
Potentially, when we communicate with students, we tell them that there is no obligation on the students. I mean, of course, the companies will meet the students, and the students will meet the companies. So I expect that this would lead to a closer relation. So I would expect some percentage of these internships would translate to job offers, indeed.
Sure. Now, I understand that the program is really geared towards recent college graduates and, you know, with an undergraduate education in business or mathematically related and little or no work experience. What else are you looking for from people interested in this program?
We are really looking for exceptional people in terms of academic ability. Mm-hmm. People who would be able to undertake this graduate level course at MIT, do fantastically well on them. But in addition, the aspiration, so we're looking at the ability, but also the aspiration to apply them in the real world. So the reason we're thinking of younger graduates, but this is a very rigorous program where people program in various languages, they perform various you know, computer science, mathematical tasks, statistical mm-hmm. tasks, mm-hmm. simulation tasks, and having the ability to do it quickly and effectively, we feel that the best preparation is actually being sort of top-notch students in the past. We are not mm-hmm. going to exclude people who have more experience, but predominantly we are looking for people that are recent graduates.
Right. Well, I noticed on the site that there was almost an invitation for career changers, let's say people who are in physics or engineering or mathematically related fields, to also apply. So there was definitely openness for people with more experience.
We look at backgrounds, people who have engineering backgrounds, economics backgrounds, mathematics backgrounds, science backgrounds, and so forth. I mean, generally, we're looking at breadth, but also depth in their area, as evidenced by doing exceptionally well in the school that they came from.
Right, and I know you take the GMAT or the GRE. Is that also going to be a factor? Or are you going to focus more on this, on the grades and what they've done in school?
I mean, both. I mean, both. But historically, so we are looking at various components. We're looking, of course, at the grades in the school,
right.
The GRE, GMAT. But in addition, we're looking at recommendation letters, things that people have done in their lives in terms of perhaps writing papers or being participating in projects that made a difference. I mean, okay. There are other factors. And in addition, we're going to interview people.
Right, and you also have a personal statement, I believe, don't you? A 500-word
personal statement as well. That's the aspirations of the people, what they intend, and so forth. Yeah.
And in the interview, what are you seeking to learn there?
We are basically trying to see, you know, MIT attracts people that are exceptional one way or the other.
Yeah, for sure.
There's one model of excellence, but multiple models. And I would say that that's exactly what we are looking. Well, I mean, in the end, we would like our graduates to become the leaders in analytical projects in their companies and really lead the efforts in the organizations as they grow older and more experienced. So for that, I think we give them a basis of a great education at MIT, But in addition, we select people who have the aspiration and the ability to advance in these environments.
Okay.
So leadership is important. You know, vision is important. I mean, these will be younger people, of course, but you can tell. You can tell even at a younger age has the aspiration and the ability.
Right. Now, if a young person, let's say you have somebody is a junior in college now and they're listening to this podcast and they're trying to decide, or maybe they're a recent grad, they're trying to decide whether to pursue an MBA, a master's in business analytics, a master's in statistics, or a master's in operations research.
Yeah.
I mean, what guidelines could you?
That's a great question. So, so I would say that the Master of Business Analytics we have is unique in multiple ways. The first is the part of the internship. About 4 out of the 12 months is dedicated to being involved in a company, learning by doing. None of the programs you mentioned, the Master in Statistics or the Master in Operational Research, that I am aware of, is doing something similar.
Sure.
Second, is the emphasis in on the some of the lab courses that I mentioned, like the that's also relatively unique, and also because software is changing. This is the aspiration here is that as software is changing, for example, the technologies on handling big data is changing, we will update the curriculum. This is also, I mean, more classical education in the fields you mentioned are more static in that respect. Mm-hmm. They teach methods as opposed to technologies. And in this case, in addition to teaching methods in a very rigorous way, this the similarity, we actually adapt to new technologies and so forth. And finally, this is really a terminal degree. This is we expect that the students who graduate from the Masters of Business Analytics will pursue a career in industry. Mm-hmm. In many of the masters you mentioned, not the MBA, but the Masters in Operational Research, the Masters in Statistics, often students who take this, some of them pursue later on the PhD, potentially an academic career. That's not the case. Finally, the major difference with the MBA. The MBA is typically geared, at least at MIT, for somewhat older graduates, typically 6 years from their bachelor, typically 28 years old, where we expect this will be younger people. And clearly, the MBA is not geared towards analytics, namely the implementing your own ideas and so forth. But in a world in which the availability of data is such that it necessitates some people, not all of the people, to really do a deeper analysis, understanding data and so forth, I feel this is the people we target, as opposed to people who become general managers down the road, which is mostly what the MBA tries to address.
No question, the MBA is a much more general degree. I mean, this program is deep dive into a very specific area.
Exactly.
Now, is there any discussion at MIT, and I realize this program is brand new, so the question may seem premature, if not almost silly, but is there any discussion now about an eventual joint MBA Master's in Business Analytics degree?
I would say not at the moment. At the moment. I mean, as you observe yourself, this is a program that hasn't yet educated anybody. We just launched in March of 2016. Right. So clearly we cannot. I mean, MIT is a place that is open to new challenges and new opportunities. So if it makes sense, we'll consider it. But in the immediate future, there are not such plans.
Okay. Now, I saw that you intend for the program to ultimately reach a 60-member cohort.
In steady state.
Right. Yeah. And that's about 2020 you hope to reach that level. What size?
We are hoping that in September 2016, we'll have 20 students.
Okay.
Maybe in 2017, 40 students. And maybe moving forward, going towards 60 students in steady state. And I think, but the key at MIT is quality of students. So we are not going to compromise that by just admitting a certain number. I mean, we would like to have the, you know, fantastic people, and that's our objective. And we believe we can find 60 exceptional people in SETI State that would fulfill the aspirations we have for the program in terms of our graduates.
Well, considering the demand that you talked about at the beginning, you know, in terms of your MOOC, not to mention my anecdotal sense of demand, just from terms of applicants talking to me, you should be able to, with no difficulty, find 60 exceptional people for this program.
We have some early evidence on this already. I mean, the application cycle has not ended. I mean, given the applicants I've seen, I'm certain that come September we'll have 20 fantastic people, 20 or so fantastic people. So we're on our way to achieving this objective.
All right. By the time we post this podcast, I suspect your application cycle will have closed for the class entering in 2016. But what about the class entering in 2017? In other words, again, this would be this year's college.
Future, yes.
Right. What do you anticipate for that?
So I anticipate in terms of similar, I anticipate that we will admit roughly 40 students.
Okay.
For 2017, doubling the number in 2016. Again, there are we are only going to admit great people, but that's our expectation, that I think we'll get around 40.
And do you expect that you'll have a similar process in terms of, you know, personal statement and interview?
Similar process, yes. Of course, I mean, as you realize, this time it has been more under time pressure, given that the program was just approved in March, and it's beginning of it, less than 2 months away from us. But, you know, clearly, but similar. I mean, the criteria will be similar, very similar.
And when do you expect the deadline to be for the application? When do you expect to open the application and end the application next year?
For 2017, we expect the application to close, I think, January 4th, 2017. Okay. And I think the opening would be sometime in September timeframe. I do not remember the exact time the application.
That's good enough, though. Thank you. And what kind of careers? I mean, you've said that they're going to go into industry, but I mean, do you see some going into consulting and most going into business or?
Yes, we see potential careers of people in consulting, indeed, in financial services, in internet companies.
Sure.
The number of analytics companies that are, traditional companies. Oh. That generate analytics groups has increased very dramatically, even companies you would not expect, simply because the data is increasing in tremendous rates. So I expect a lot of competition for these graduates.
Yeah. I have a nephew working for Cloudera who's an expert in Hadoop, which that's all about big data.
There are many other opportunities unexpected. For example, sports teams, a major professional sports teams are building analytics groups. In fact, some of our former graduates are now in leading positions in this environment. So
that was the whole premise of Moneyball, wasn't it?
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
And of course, Google is using.
In fact, I just finalized the book. It's called The Analytics Edge.
Yeah.
And in the various chapters of the book, I basically visit various industries: healthcare, financial services, sports,
marketing,
of course, marketing area, you know, major opportunities.
Right. Is your book a technical book, or is it more for lay business people?
It is, I would say, for an informed reader of the Financial Times. That's
okay.
Sort of,
I got it. I look forward to reading it.
All right.
Okay.
Glad to send you a book.
All right. Deal.
Anything else?
Yes. Do you have any advice for those interested in either the Master's in Business Analytics or in a career in data science?
My advice would be for these younger people to do an internship during their undergraduate education to see if they enjoy working with data, if they enjoy working in these analytical methods, and also perhaps take a course in statistics, in optimization, in operational research, something related so they can test their own inclinations and so forth. So between an internship and some formal education in university, I think that would be a good way to check their interests and aspirations.
That's excellent advice. Dr. Bertsimas, thank you so much for joining me today. I really enjoyed learning about this exciting new program from MIT Sloan and its Operations Research Center. Where can listeners learn more about this program?
Post yes, it? We have a URL. Mm-hmm. If you type Sloan School of Management, Analytics, or Master of Business Analytics, there is a website, which is currently working, but in addition, we'll add more information because we are working on improving the website and having much more details.
Great. Listener, you'll find links in the show notes at accepted.com/159 to both the Masters in Business Analytics site as well as to some other resources I mentioned and some that I didn't. Listener, I want to thank you too for tuning in to this, our 159th episode. If you found this show helpful, please subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, or Zoom so that you don't miss any of the upcoming shows. We have shows focused on fascinating programs like the MBAN, as well as admissions practices at specific schools, test prep, career guidance, financial aid, and much more of interest to graduate school applicants. So don't miss anything and subscribe. You can find subscribe links at, you guessed it, accepted.com/159. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.